The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This evening, I'd ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. During my last message, introduced the thought of the son of consolation, Barnabas being the son of consolation, Jesus Christ being the son of consolation, and Simeon describing the babe Jesus as being the consolation of Israel. And kind of in continuation of that thought, I'd like to consider this evening the God of consolation and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. And you'll see here the interchangeable nature of the word comfort and consolation. It's the exact same Greek word, parakletos, which is very similar to Jesus described that he was going to send in John chapters, really 14 to 16, that he was going to send a holy comforter, a holy consoler, if you'll let me use that language. And the Holy Spirit was going to comfort and console God's people. And isn't it great to think about the fact here of God being the God of all comfort, amen, right? God of all, amen, consolation, that he has an abundant storehouse of every bit of comfort and consolation that we stand in need of. Now, what's the basis for our comfort and consolation and hope and expectation for God to bless us in the midst of tribulation, as it says in verse 4, in the midst of trials in this life? Let's continue on for just a minute through verse 10. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch as we despaired even of life. I'm in a situation that's so trying that I feel beyond my capacity to endure this tribulation. I am beyond strength. I am past my ability to endure this. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know, that's a great encouragement when we feel like, when it says above strength, it describes us as being, in Romans chapter 5, of us being without strength, that means we were dead, right? Well, it's a great encouragement to know that God, when you're so weak that you feel like that you may give up, pass out, faint, isn't it good to know that God's the God that raises the dead, right? Amen. He's the one that gives strength and encouragement to those that are right in that weak state, right on the brink. Notice verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by your prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf. So what is the hope, the anchor of the soul, as it says in Hebrews? What is the anchor of the soul that we have in the midst of tribulation? Well, it all starts in verse 10 with our eternal salvation, who hath delivered us from so great a death.
Yes.
You see, you have to understand where we were by nature, and we're dead in trespasses and in sin, worthy of God's judgment with no hope, and then God, by his own free and sovereign grace, bestowed upon us the gift of eternal life. He saved us from so great a death. And that's why we should never doubt God's providential guidance and protection and comfort in the midst of tribulation, but especially the providential daily salvations that God gives us every day. Why should we ever doubt if God didn't leave us hanging in eternity? Why would we ever doubt He's going to leave us hanging here in time, right? If He delivered us from so great, that's why you have to have a proper understanding of doctrine and the doctrinal presentation of Scripture of how we are saved from our sins,
right?
Because that is the foundation and the anchor of your soul in the midst of that tribulation.
Amen.
Who delivered us from so great a death. We've been saved by grace. We've been saved from hell by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then we also see Him blessing us in our daily lives now too. Who doth deliver, right? I see those daily providential blessings every day. Every day. And what does that give me encouragement of? It gives me hope, right? I know foundationally that He's delivered us from so great a death. I know that I've seen from my own personal experience the daily providential deliverances of God. And what does that give me? It gives me a hope and an expectation that in whom we trust, He will yet deliver.
That's right.
Right? That gives us hope and encouragement to know that it doesn't matter the trial. Isn't it great to think about the fact that regardless of the severity of the trials that we go through, we're never going to show up and God not be able to supply what we stand in need of because
Amen.
He's the God of all comfort, right? Wouldn't it be pitiful to show up to someone when you're in need and they're having to ration what you stand in need of, right? You know, well, I've already promised, you know, this over here to somebody, and you know, if you would have been here 5 minutes earlier, maybe I could have given you all the comfort that you need. But unfortunately, we've got this problem in Afghanistan. We've got this problem in China. We've got this problem over here in Africa. And we've got these people down on the coast too, right? Oh, me. It's high demand right now. That's how it is in our world, right? Supply and demand. And when the demand gets high, the supply gets tight, right? Isn't it good to know that God is the God of all comfort?
That's right.
Right? He's not going to run low on any of that. And we don't even have the ability to really even comfort anyone. But we can point them to the one who can provide them comfort.
Amen.
Well, that's something I've learned in the ministry. I mean, you can hug people. You can have them cry on your shoulder. You can pray with them. You can sing with them. But I can't comfort anybody.
Right.
I can't. I can be there. I can let you know that I love you. Again, I can pray. I can direct you to Scripture. I can pray with you and direct you to the Lord, direct you to the Holy Comforter. But you feel so inadequate when you try to minister to people that are in severe trials and their heart is broken and they're overwhelmed, despaired even of life. You feel so inadequate. All you can do is point them to the Holy Comforter,
Amen.
Right? All you can do is point them to the Lord. But I want you to notice in these verses, the outward focus of the Apostle Paul when he was going through this tribulation. You know, we have other instances in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's describing his thorn in the flesh, and he prayed for the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh, and it was not the Lord's will for him to do that. He says, I'm going to give you grace sufficient. And then Paul's attitude changed. His attitude changed, not, Lord, take away the thorn. Instead, his attitude now is, Lord, thank you for this humbling, because that's why God gave him that particular thorn, was that he would not be exalted above measure. But Lord, thank you for this, because I am weak in the midst of this, but I also see that your power and your strength is manifested the most when I'm the weakest.
That's right.
So actually, it's a great blessing that you've given me this tribulation and that you've made me so weak in and of myself, because now the power of God can be manifested through me in a very powerful way. So he had the attitude that he gloried in his infirmities. Why? Because he saw the value in him seeing his own weakness and then allowing the power and strength of God to be manifested through that weakness. So we also see Paul's perspective here that as he is going through tribulation, he's not simply gritting his teeth and trying to get by with the bare minimum. He's saying, I am going through this. God is giving me comfort in the midst of my tribulation so that I can then pay that forward to minister to other people in the midst of their tribulation. You see, his enduring of his tribulation has an outward focus. You see that? Verse 4. God comforts us. He's the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulation. But why has God given me this comfort? Now, praise God, he's given it to us in the midst of our tribulation so we can get through that difficult time. Praise God for that. But he's saying he's not giving it to me just to consume and then that'd be the end of it.
Right.
No, he's giving you that comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. So he's saying, God's provided me this comfort so I can encourage other people. Now, sometimes we feel like we can't really encourage or comfort someone because I'm not in an exact one-to-one parallel circumstance that they're in. You know, I've never experienced this exact medical issue. I've never been unemployed. I've never went through a divorce. Whatever the circumstance is, I've never went through that exact same circumstance. So therefore, I feel inadequate to try to comfort them in the midst of that specific circumstance. Well, Paul says, it doesn't really matter the circumstance. He says, I am dealing, let's just say his thorn in the flesh, for example. Okay? I'm dealing with a specific problem, but I have seen God's comfort in the midst of my problem. So therefore, I have the hope and encouragement, because God's the God of all comfort, right? I have the hope and encouragement to comfort anyone in any trouble.
Yes, right.
See? It's not just that, oh man, now I also believe if you go through a specific circumstance, you have a great perspective to be able to minister to people that have been in that exact same circumstance. So you don't need to ignore that either, okay? But you also don't need to say, well, I can't really provide them comfort. And I say that, I said before, I can't really provide comfort to them anyway. I can direct them to the Lord. I can encourage them. But I can't really minister to them because I haven't experienced that exact same circumstance. Well, that's not the point. The point is directing them to the God of all comfort, right?
Amen.
The point is directing them that it doesn't matter the trouble that you're in. God is the Father of mercies. God is the God of all comfort. And I don't have to, you know, there's not some secret sauce. You know, there's not some secret will of God, you know. They're in Deuteronomy where it references the secret things. Some people are always trying to find the secret things and some secret magic potion that allows you to endure all this tribulation. Well, there's not a secret.
Right.
There's not a secret. The secret is that God is the God of all comfort, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple, okay? But he says, God is not giving me this comfort so I can just consume it and then go about my life as if nothing ever happened. He's giving me this for a purpose. He's giving me this comfort for a purpose so that I can point those that are in any trouble to the Lord so he can provide them comfort. Okay? For as, verse 5, the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounded by Christ. And notice this, again, outward perspective of affliction and tribulation. If we're afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. How about that? You know, we're so naturally prideful and so naturally selfish. You know, obviously, I'm only going to think about me when I'm in the midst of tribulation. I mean, that's the way I'm wired. You're probably the same way. I mean, I'm only going to think about me when I'm uncomfortable. I'm only going to think about me when I'm in pain. I'm only going to think about me. But Paul says the mature Christian has a different perspective. The mature Christian says, how can I learn lessons in the midst of this tribulation
right.
so I can minister to others that are in any trouble,
Amen.
Right? He says, look, it's not about me. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You know, we don't know the full extent of the will of God and why God suffers some things and he providentially prevents other things. But one aspect of at least the mindset that we need to have, regardless of the circumstance, is that when I'm afflicted, it's most likely at a later date going to be for someone else's consolation and salvation if we approach it properly, okay? If we approach it with the right attitude. Now, we can also approach it with a very bitter attitude and we can squander all that.
Yeah.
But the perspective he's showing us here is my thoughts in affliction should be, you know what? It's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual. It's effective. And they're enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, again, it's for you. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Notice in verse 11, how can you help and encourage someone when they're in any trouble? Also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means by many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know, I believe sometimes we diminish the effect and the blessing that we can have on others by bringing their name fervently and repeatedly before the throne of grace. He says, look, how can you help me? What's the best thing you can do for me? Paul says, the best thing you can do for me is to help me by your prayers for us. And when you feel inadequate to be able to comfort people, again, you can have them cry on your shoulder. You can sing with them. You can pray with them. But the biggest thing you can do to help them is to pray for them.
Yes.
Right? For God to send his Holy Comforter. For God to provide that peace unto his children. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Begin reading in verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, and within were fears. I'm very thankful for the authenticity with which the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures. You know, I read someone like the Apostle Paul and see how bold he is in preaching the gospel, and sometimes we view him like Captain America, you know, or Superman, and he has faith that can't be squandered. You know, he just got an extra. It says God gave every man the measure of faith. Well, that applies to everyone but the Apostle Paul, right? He got an extra unction, and man, if I just had the extra portion that God gave Paul, then maybe I could be as bold as him. But then you see, you know what, he's a man, as it says of Elijah, he's a man of like passions just like us, you know. I see the Apostle Paul. He said he went to Corinth. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes, I preached in demonstration of the Spirit and power, but I was before you in fear, in weakness, and in much trembling. I mean, can you imagine the Apostle Paul, the bold Apostle Paul? It doesn't seem like that he would, you know, be afraid of anything, but yet he was before them in fear and in much trembling. We were troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Everywhere I looked, it looked like there were none but problems, right? Troubled on every side. And then it wasn't just external problems. I had internal anxiety. Without were fightings, but within were fears. You can probably relate to some of that language at different points in your life. When you were in much trembling and weakness and in fear. Nevertheless, the God that comforteth those that are cast down. Notice how God provided comfort in this instance for Paul. You know, he feels overwhelmed with outward fightings. Everywhere I look, everyone's against me. Everywhere I look, there's nothing but problems. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforteth us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. You know, there's a reason when Jesus sent both the 12 apostles and the 70 out. How did he send them out? He sent them out two by two. Two by two. Why? Because there's going to come times when we're troubled on every side.
Amen.
There's going to come times when without we're fightings and within we're fears. There's going to come times when we have trembling and fear in our heart. And how is the majority of the time, how does God provide comfort to you? Many times it's by an encouraging word and the physical presence of someone to minister to you. You see that, Paul? Hey, isn't it great to think about the fact? You know, I can only imagine Paul certainly embraced Titus when he showed up, but for him to be reading inspired scripture and the Holy Spirit says that God came to me. Paul says, God came to me, but how did God come to me? He didn't come to me by a mighty angel. He didn't come to me by, you know, with Elijah. He didn't come to me with a mighty wind or a fire or any of these cataclysmic things. How did God come to him? By his dear, beloved brother Titus.
Yeah.
You see, the fellowship of the saints is so important for the people of God, especially when we're going through, especially when we feel this overwhelmed, right? God provided comfort through Titus. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God moved in Titus, being a born-again child of God, hopefully following the direction of the Holy Spirit? God himself comforted Paul through Titus. I tell you, I'm so useless in the kingdom, but I want to be useful. I want to be one of those Tituses that provides comfort to people. I want to be one of those people that when they show up that it produces comfort instead of anxiety. Why? Because hopefully the Lord is using me in the kingdom. He's using you in the kingdom. And I certainly want to be encouraging to people. You know, he was in a situation where everyone around him was against him. Isn't it great to have someone show up who you knew was 100% on your team, right?
Yes,
100%
sir.
For
Amen.
You. But it wasn't just seeing Titus. I mean, it's great to see people that we love and hug them and catch up with them and fellowship with them as somebody I hadn't seen in a while, or even as somebody we see repeatedly. It's great to embrace and encourage one another and have the fellowship of the saints. But then also, Titus came bearing good news too. The Apostle Paul had to be pretty stern with the Corinthian church in his first letter. And they had multitudes of problems. And obviously, he was a little concerned about how they were going to take it. You know, he says in the one of these epistles, he says, look, I love you. I'm correcting you as a father corrects his child. But the more I love, the more abundantly I love you, the less I'm loved. In other words, I'm afraid. You know, children don't always understand the perspective of their parents when they're being corrected. So I'm afraid that you may take it the wrong way. But and no doubt Paul sat there in somewhat, most likely, of anxiety, wondering, I mean, 1 Corinthians, it's tough. It's
right.
Tough. I mean, could you imagine just acting like, having in your own mind, especially as prideful as they were about that unrepentant sinner that was in the middle of them, and they think they're doing everything right. And then you hear a letter that just like rakes you over the coals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been tough to hear.
Yes.
And Paul was concerned that they probably, especially since you had this relationship in Corinth where they're kind of questioning his apostleship too. So maybe they're going to just say, I don't like what he said, so therefore he's not even really a true apostle. You know, I sure had a lot of concern. How are they going to respond? Especially since he was calling them on the carpet, since it was so harsh. But he sent that letter by Titus. They heard it. And guess what? The Lord worked on them. Godly sorrow produced repentance. And how encouraging must it have been for Paul, not just to see his beloved brother Titus, praise God for that, but then to hear the way that the Corinth church responded to the preaching of the gospel, responded to the truth being preached in love, and then they repented of that, and they were committed to following the word of God and dealing with all these problems that they had, not just rooting out the false doctrine, but dealing with church discipline, dealing with all those problems that they had. What a great report when he most likely was in anxiety that whole time that Titus was gone. For now, for him to show up and say, guess what, Paul? They received it with joy and with love, and they confessed their sins, they repented, and now they are purging out all of those things that the Holy Spirit called you to rebuke them on. I tell you, isn't good news from a far country, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool waters to a thirsty soul, right? Good news from a far country, especially no doubt in Paul's circumstance, where he had concern over how they would respond to that, but he get received comfort from the person of Titus, but also from the message that he comforted. And then he says Titus passed forward his comfort and consolation, because no doubt it was a great encouragement to Titus too. You know, I don't necessarily know where he was at in his ministry at this time, but he probably was not near as seasoned as the Apostle Paul, because you imagine being possibly one of those young, green ministers that the Apostle Paul had raised up, and then you being the person he gave that letter to to hand to the Corinth church, and you're the messenger, you know, because they may get mad at Paul, but they're probably not going to like the messenger either. They're probably not going to like the person that gave them the letter either. And I can just imagine Titus being this kind of young, green, up-and-coming minister, and then he reads it maybe on the way over there. You know, he's like, this is what I'm giving them. Paul, you know, can you give me the Philippian letter, you know, where you're encouraging them all? This is the letter you're giving them. I bet Titus probably had a little bit of anxiety too. So then he saw the way they responded, and it says that Titus was comforted in the Corinthian church.
Amen.
Right? Because he probably had a little bit of anxiety too. But do you see this circular pattern here of comfort and consolation? You see that? That's what we saw with Barnabas, right? And the son of consolation. He comforted and encouraged and consoled Paul. But then Paul was ready to write off John Mark. But Barnabas encouraged John Mark. And then at a later date, John Mark encouraged Paul. You see that circular motion, that circular cycle of comfort? We see the same thing here. Titus was comforted by the church's response to the gospel, and he was excited to tell Paul about it. Paul was comforted at Titus's presence and his message, his physical presence, but also his message. Titus was comforted, and what did he do with that comfort? He passed it on to Paul, right? And that's the same attitude that Paul had, right? That he was passing it along. So that's how we can rejoice in tribulation. Let's also be mindful of how God provides comfort in the midst of tribulation. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 to close. Romans chapter 5, it just concludes speaking of justification by faith. And justification by faith is not just a one-time event.
That's right.
When we believe in the Lord. It's a continual process.
Amen.
of believing and not believing, going through the process of the Father of, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. We're in this continual cycle of belief and unbelief. Well, when we believe the Lord, when we trust in Him, when we believe, you know, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and hope is the anchor of the soul. That's our foundation, right? So when we trust the Lord in the midst of tribulation, now we have peace by whom we have access. Or we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith, and in the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. How could you have the perspective to glory in tribulations? Again, that's the perspective that Paul reached when he was dealing with this thorn in the flesh. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. We will glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Think about the verse over there that we considered, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, right? Eternal salvation from judgment in the lake of fire. But then he doth deliver daily deliverances in our lives, which here are described as experiences. Experience, right? We endure tribulation. We have experience. God blesses us, and that gives us hope. In whom we trust, he will, yeah, deliver, right? Then it says later on in Romans chapter 8, what are we saved by? We're saved by hope, aren't we? We're saved by hope. When the entire world, boy, I tell you, we need a lot of children of God need to be saved by hope right now.
Amen.
You know, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. I start looking all around. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. I'm looking all around me. I see the whole creation, and all I see around me, the whole creation, what's it doing? It's groaning and travailing in pain. Do we not see that playing out in front of the world around us right now? Looks like the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. Well, what does a child of God do in the midst of that? Not just the whole creation, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. Not just the creation in general, but God's children. We groan within ourselves. What's the remedy for that? What's the remedy for all that? For we are saved by hope, right? We are saved by hope. But ourselves, we're saved by hope, but hope which is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, we don't have to wait patiently on something that we see in front of us right now, do we? No, it's right here, right? It's at hand. But we patiently wait. What are we patiently waiting for? You know, if the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain, if we're groaning and travailing in pain because of our sinful natures, what's the remedy for all that? The second coming of the Lord, right?
Yes.
He's going to burn up this creation that's groaning and travailing in pain. He's going to eradicate our sinful natures, where we don't have that warfare anymore. We're going to be conformed to his image, right? All of that is fixed. All that groaning is fixed in the second coming of the Lord. And that's how we closed last time. God has given us everlasting consolation, right? What does that everlasting consolation come from? It comes from the second coming of the Lord. It comes from the God of all comfort finally wiping away all of the groaning and travailing of this world. And then we'll have everlasting consolation. So let's glory in tribulations to the best of our ability. Have an outward focus. It's not just about me. That's the nature of our life anyway, right? It's not about me. It's about God and others. And when God gives me that comfort, praise God for that. But you view that as for someone else's consolation and salvation. When you're afflicted, go encourage someone else. Go minister to someone else. Pray with them and encourage them, but ultimately point them to the God of all comfort.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.